A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
All right. And tonight's got kind of a random topic we're going into, but we're actually going to be talking about ghosts of the White House. However, though,
it was just President's Day.
It was. So, like, it kind of works.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about it. Did you do that on purpose?
No.
Did you not? Because we were supposed to record this on President's Day. We jumped it back one day. So yesterday was President's.
Yesterday was President's Day.
Yeah.
Last week was. Last week was because my dad worked. You know, he got off work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, I
close.
Did.
Very close.
Yeah. I never know when President's Day is because my holiday schedule sucks. So,
close enough.
But the question of whether or not I did it on purpose, I did not.
You know what? Just lie. Just lie and say you did.
Okay. Yeah, I totally did that on purpose because I'm a fucking genius.
That was so smart.
Foresight. I know. It's just such a great marketing lie.
Yeah.
It's just great for marketing.
Hello.
But yeah, so before we get into all this presidential shit, Kyle, you've actually got a update for
us. Update.
A little segment called Haunted Healthcare Update.
Update.
So yeah, we were supposed to get together to do this yesterday, the day before today. So that's yesterday.
Well, first, let's say we're doing an update because, what, a couple podcasts ago we did haunted healthcare?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were able to get some of your personal stories from
You haven't heard it or if you want to go back and listen, there's several personal weird haunted shit that I've gotten from the kitchen that I work at in an old folks' home. So there was some... couple things that happened yesterday that were probably the most insane things.
So this did happen yesterday.
This happened yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. This is awesome. Nice.
That's why this is the update here. I couldn't have included it when we did the other one because obviously it didn't happen yet. But it's an ongoing thing, so this could be a reoccurring short segment.
All right.
That would be awesome. And by the way, Bubna and I have not heard this. Kevin and I haven't heard this at all.
No, these guys have not heard anything.
This is fresh. I wanted a live reaction.
If it was anything small or insignificant, I wouldn't even mention it. But this shit was crazy. So here we go.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
I'm in there in the morning, and it's not unlike the stories I told before, but it is more intense. But they, so I'm in there just getting the breakfast ready, fucking making some eggs and sausage and shit. And my coworker's in there. She was like right by my side at one point doing something. By the way, I keep the lights off in the kitchen till about 9 o'clock, usually on any given day. Yes.
I have a question. Sorry.
We haven't raised hands here.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever mentioned that in the other one, too.
Great format for a podcast, but yeah, I had to raise my hand on that one. Okay. So you're cooking in the dark?
Do you have like a light on, like over top of the.
Above like the hoods where, you know, the hood fans and stuff?
Yeah.
There's lights there.
Okay.
There's like floodlights in the kitchen. It's not pitch black by any means.
I was going to say, because at this point, I'm like, dude, you're kind of fucking asking for it. All right.
It is very dimly lit, though.
Okay.
To be honest.
Sorry.
I just like it that way.
But just like, you're talking about like cooking with the lights off and stuff. And it's like, I mean, I usually do that like when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm trying to like not wake up Julie or something like that, you know?
Right.
Even though I usually do, sorry. But okay, sorry. I just want some verification on that.
There's enough light, you know, but once, I just don't like all that bright, like fluorescent bulb shit, you know?
No,
like,
I get it, dude. I totally get it.
Just keep trying to keep it.
The nighttime is the right time, dude. I'm fucking with you on that one.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I never really thought of it. Maybe that could be a reason why a lot of this shit happens early in the morning. But I'm just sitting there doing my thing, and seriously, okay, Sue Pop fell. Not unlike anything else I said.
Okay.
I had just been over there, and it was on a shelf. It was totally secure, and I know that because I pulled a smaller pot out from behind it and had to put it back, and it was not hanging off or anything. So, but it got thrown down. Like, the soup pots have fallen and stuff, and it's loud, but this was fucking loud.
Okay.
This was like somebody had taken this, like, big, heavy pot and, like, which would normally be very loud if it just fell, but it was as if they threw it on the ground. Like, I felt the floor.
No, seriously. Shit.
And
okay.
Immediately after that happened, this is...
Are you by yourself at this time? Do you say there was somebody else there?
There was one of the servers in there with me and my other cook.
Did they immediately run out of the room when this happened?
No.
Okay, well, good on them. Nice.
My colleague with me, the other girl was freaked out. My colleague, she's like, ghost shit doesn't bother her. I mean, you could even debate, like, her energy kind of stirs up whatever's going on.
Okay.
She's kind of witchy and stuff. So, like, this happened. I was, a lot of times don't jump, but I was definitely startled because it was fucking loud. Yeah,
it's a loud fucking clang. Like,
I was staring ahead, so I could see her out of my peripheral and no reaction, not even a flinch. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? I'm looking around and I see, like, the pots on the ground. Like, almost from around the corner. And seriously, after that, this is tough. But it was, I heard this, like, groan, or, like, almost like a growl. Like,
no way.
Okay.
I'm not fucking kidding.
From the same area?
Yeah,
or from,
like,
somewhere else?
From the pot, pretty much.
Really?
Like, downward and up. Like, it was fucked up. And I...
That's fuck.
Looked at her. I'm like, did you fucking hear that? She just, like, looked at me and, like, nodded her head slightly. And I'm like, what the fuck was that?
That's scary.
It was. Yeah, that's fucked. Fucking. Yeah, that was the most thing that ever happened. And then, literally, like, 2 minutes maybe after that, another one of these long hotel pans comes out from the stack that it's in, which, again, I had walked past this before. They're all neatly stacked in there. And if you've ever worked in the kitchen, you can't just, like, they don't just fall off each other. They're secured in there.
And aren't they, like, depressed down? So, like, the next one on the top kind of fits in,
they
basically.
You
just keep, like
a Russian
doll.
Just,
you just keep stacking them.
Almost like you stack cups.
Yeah, no, just like you'd stack, like, a bunch of freaking, like, solo cups.
Nice.
Yeah. They stack, like, close together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those goes flying off, but also those pans have fallen many times before, and they're always very loud. But this was, like, also, again, like, accentuated, like, it fell down with, like, force.
Mm.
It was so loud as fuck. Like, this shit hurt my ear.
Oh,
on
shit.
Both the soup pot and the hotel pan.
Did you see, like, spray painted prison food sucks on the wall?
Retirement community food sucks.
Yeah, there you go.
Then
I mean, not only is that terrifying, that's insulting as well.
Yeah.
So,
so that's the story. That's the update.
That's terrifying.
Dude, that's wild. Fucked
and after
up,
that
man.
Second one fell, the other server person was genuinely freaked out. She was genuinely freaked out. I could see it on her face.
No
and
shit.
This is the same one that, if you had listened to the previous one, she was my witness with me to the garbage can opening up by itself.
Okay.
So she's not.
This isn't her first
rodeo. Familiar with it, but this had an edge to it.
Yeah.
You know,
you could tell this was angry. Aggressive.
Yeah, this is, like, threatening almost.
Almost. It was weird. It was really weird.
Just,
you know, like, I don't know. There's a lot of sickness been around. We had to serve people brooms and stuff.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Did you have any...
This is off spirits.
Did anybody, like, recently pass away? Any residents?
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, that crossed my mind, too. But it was the sweetest angel. I don't know. Who knows what happened?
Gosh. Oh, my God. That is really scary. Like, ghosts, like, all that stuff really doesn't scare me. But if it's something shows aggression...
The noise.
That scares me.
The groanish growl is what really...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely way more than like, I'm being a dickhead and throwing shit around a little bit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That growl is like, what
the fuck? It was the strangest thing that's ever happened to me.
No shit.
Not just at work, just ever.
No shit.
Oh, yikes. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm so glad that I know you, like, and that you have these stories, because I just love hearing personal stories from, like, a trustworthy person that is like, okay, yeah, that's totally real.
But
yeah,
then, totally, you know, real. Like, the whole rest of the day, the vibe was off. My colleague towards the end was so angry, like, so angry. And she has a tendency to get, I don't want to say emotional. I don't want to
say uppity.
That's the wrong word.
Okay.
She can get intense. Okay. But she was, like, irate. Like, over small, dumb shit, you know.
Do you think that she has some sort of telepathic abilities?
Sometimes I do. But then, like, she even this morning was just way calmer. And we were both kind of talking about it again. I'm like, I kind of feel like whatever the hell was going down here in the morning, like, really, like, the vibes were just off.
Yeah, just ruin the mojo.
And then,
of the day.
I was glad when we rescheduled today, honestly, too, because I went home. And mind you, the night before, I fell asleep probably 9:30, which is pretty early for me. Shouldn't have been tired, but I came home and just passed out on the couch.
Mm.
Like, I was so drained. She said the same thing, too.
Mm.
It was just weird. I mean, you can't help but think and wonder. You know, all this shit's related.
Would you happen to say that more things have happened since? Because how long have you been working with her?
Worked with her about 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say that more things have happened since you started working with her?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And it does particularly kind of happen. If she does get into sort of a psychic frenzy, pissed off or something, like, she'll tell me stuff like, when I'm not there, we work very well together. Mm-hmm. So usually if we're working together, we help each other and everything's fine. And there's not a lot of, like, anger. But if I'm off or if she's off, then, like, the whole, like, psychic energy is kind of skewed. So, like, she'll tell me sometimes, like, yeah, when you were off yesterday, people were pissing me off and, like, a stack of plates just fell off that. I'm like, seems like that doesn't really happen to me, but with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I have another question then. Does she ever tell you about, does she have things like that happen when she's at home?
I don't think so. She never really says anything
I didn't know if this was something that, like, she...
That doesn't necessarily mean it's not happening, though, if she hasn't told you about it.
Just interesting, she... Just, like, if it's something that...
Does she know that we're talking about her?
No.
All right.
I don't think she'd be surprised if I mentioned it. She knows how, like, interested I was.
I mean, I was just kind of wondering,
but,
too.
You know, she totally, I mean, the thing that got me that I was like, thank God you heard that fucking sound too.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I would have been just completely doubting myself on everything. Yeah. But she, like, almost in disbelief, slowly just nodded her head and was like, yep, I heard that.
Okay, and you said, like, she's kind of, like, witchy a little bit. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Like into, like, Wicca, like,
she's
that,
like,
kind of thing?
Describes herself as pagan, you know.
Okay.
Into a lot of, you know, spiritual type of things and stuff, you know. Don't really know the entire extent and stuff, but I mean, Halloween.
No, of course,
favorite
but
holiday, well, which it is for a lot of us.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's cool. Yeah, that's absolutely cool.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right?
But
she's definitely like not a Satanist. Or
no, I mean, more, I don't like, give a shit if she is
spiritual. Like, whatever. You know, crystals and gems.
Yeah. You know. No, it's just I'm. It's just the, with everything you're saying. You know, as far as just with everything I know, it seems to me like whatever this is more attached to her.
Yeah. Or than, like, I feel like she
you.
Stirs or has the ability to stir it up. Or like,
make
yeah, it,
she could be like
or a like power.
Yeah. She could you know be like I mean? A psychic like, battery is yes, I think like yes, what it's basically like my referred theory to as. Like know, she's
like that.
It's, I've
she's
never like heard a, that term.
She has like an output of like energy of that can, you know, basically give spirits more energy to where
that's
they can move things or manifest sounds.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's maybe.
You should ask her. I'm genuinely curious. You should say like, hey, I brought this up on the podcast and, you know, do you ever experience, you know, things also at home? You could be, yeah, you know, do you experience things at home ever?
There's been a few weird things at my house. Yeah. But not like in a long time. More like when we first moved in.
Mm. Okay, but nothing like that you've note like nothing recent or anything.
No,
like that.
Nothing I can okay. really put my okay. finger on that's like recent.
I would be curious if you asked your coworker. I'm curious what she would say.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, me too. I'll have to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, let me know.
God, thanks for sharing. Yeah, that was right. awesome. I can't yeah. wait for a and part three update.
I know, right?
Part two update. Healthcare like, update.
I know, right?
Update.
That's the update noise. So
I'm hoping that every podcast from like here on out, you'll have some sort of update.
Some kind of update. Update number 47.
Or at least like every one or two, every second or third podcast.
If they're small, yeah, I'll maybe take a note. And then once they build up a little bit, but that... Just what happened yesterday was big for me.
Especially if yeah. it was enough to just like exhaust your whole day, you know?
Yeah, I think that was part of it, really. I don't know what the hell was floating around in there, but it was weird.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Well, yeah, definitely keep us posted on that.
Sure.
But
so we can move on to the Haunted White House.
Yeah, let's go into the Haunted White House from, yeah, that, yeah, I totally knew it was President's Day, like, a week ago. Like, I totally did.
So smart.
I know, because I'm wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
So okay, so Kyle, you and I actually both came across this particular documentary.
Yes.
And it basically posits that... There is a...
What's it called? What's the documentary called?
Demon in the White House.
Oh, okay. There we go.
And it's about a demon in the White House. So. But yeah, so I guess it was on Discovery Plus. You said
yeah,
I was able to...
I had seen it on there for a few weeks okay. now. Maybe even months. I'm not sure. Never nice. Got around to watching it. Thought it was interesting. But when you said you wanted to do this topic, I'm like, oh, perfect time to watch it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I found it a different way. But but yeah, so we both watched this documentary and basically like, okay, here's another visual for a podcast. It's a documentary. I'm doing the finger thing right now, if you can tell.
Dick fingers.
But yeah, I'm doing dick fingers. So
that's my girlfriend calls it whenever I do that.
Yeah, because you're a dick.
Air quotes.
Yeah, it's air quotes, yeah. But you're a dick and you're doing stuff with your fingers. I get it. It's understandable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, because you're a dick and you do no, things with
well,
your fingers.
I only do the air quotes when I'm like just being an ass about something.
Yeah,
like,
that's something that dicks
oh,
do.
Oh, I guess I'll just go take out the dogs. Oh. Like, what the no. fuck does that mean? What do you imply?
Yeah, that, yeah even that things. One, I'm fucking confused by.
It's really, she's just calling you a
are
dick.
You implying that you're not going to take the dogs out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll let him shit on the carpet. I don't know what that means. But, yeah, so anyway, so we watched this goofy fucking documentary. I mean, okay, like, as far as facts, like, every once in a while, basically, every once in a while, somebody will come on there and say something that actually happened. Like, just say, like, oh, this happened in 1853. Yeah. But then it's just back off to the races with, like, whatever.
Everything's a demon.
Yeah, basically.
This had to be produced by Zach Baggins.
I know, right? Dude, it's like, it reeks of fucking, I mean, Zach.
I still like those adventures.
Everything's
a demon.
Yep, exactly. Everything's like a demon. Everybody's dressed.
Zach is so funny.
Everybody's dressed in black shirts and like all kinds of that stuff too. But yeah, like, it's kind of funny. But basically, the point of the documentary is basically Franklin Pierce, who was the 14th president of the United States, his wife had seances in the White House. It's just based on that fact right there. And then this documentary basically took it as, what if that unleashed a demon, and then there was a demon in the White House to this, till this day.
It's a lot of what ifs.
Yeah, it's a lot of what ifs with this, like, quote unquote documentary. Make doing dick fingers again. So thank you for that, Liza. So, but yeah, so it all starts out with Franklin Pierce, basically. So, okay, I basically just went down this crazy historical rabbit hole. So we're just going to play a history lesson really quick. So, because this will help you understand who Frank Pierce is. Okay, so Frankie Pierce.
Like, I suppose they call him Frank. Like he's your next door neighbor.
Yeah, you and know, Frank.
Frankie Pierce.
Yeah, that's my boy, Frankie Pierce. So, but yeah, so Frankie Pierce. All right, in order to really get to him and his presidency, we actually have to go back to 1820. Okay, so in 1820, basically you had, and this starts with what was known as the Missouri Compromise. Okay, so in 1820, you had 22 states. You had 11 free states, and you had 11 slave states. And keeping that dynamic in the Senate was really important. Because depending on if you had another state come, like, basically, if you had another state come in and it was a free state, that would give them two more seats in the Senate, and then they would have majority rule over the slave states. And at this point in history, too, basically, the northern states were like, hey, guys, like, we don't really like slavery. Slavery's fucked up. You should stop doing it. With the South being like, fuck you. Free labor. Like, what are you talking about? It's awesome. So, like, that was even all the way back then. Like,
I think those were their exact words.
Those were exact words. I was thinking about going really stupid and Southern on that. But, like, we'll save that for later.
Can't tell me what to do. You know? Look here, fucker.
but yeah, so basically, like, it was slavery during pretty much its entire fucking existence, as it should be, was a pretty hot button topic in the United States. Now, basically, what happened with the Missouri Compromise is, from, you know, everybody remembers Louisiana Purchase. There's a bunch of land that were territories outside of the actual states.
Yes.
Okay. So Missouri finally got to the point where Missouri was ready to try to become a state. The thing was, and this is what threw the North all for a loop and everything, was that Missouri wanted to be a slave state. And that would have offset the balance in the Senate, which the North was having nothing doing. So there was this whole hubbaloo and everything like that. And basically, and this was brought on by at this time, Henry Clay, who was the Speaker of the House, pretty much just came up with a plan saying, OK, look, Missouri can be a state and it can be a slave state, but we're also going to annex part of Massachusetts and create Maine. And Maine will be a free state.
Oh,
because okay. Maine initially was just part of Massachusetts. Like, that whole area was just Massachusetts. So they annexed that part off, so that balanced the scales again. So everybody was cool. And then as far as the remaining territories, because they knew, like, eventually down the line, like, more territories were going to become more states, they put a line down at the 36 and 30 latitude, mm-hmm. which is right at the base of the line of the state line of Missouri, and just extended it all the way to the ocean. And it was basically everything south of the line could be a slave state. You know, once we got to that point, and everything to the north of that line would be a free state. So we just keep everything even, mm-hmm. all that. So that worked.
Oh my God, what was that? It's on the tip of my tongue. What was that line called?
Oh, you're talking the Mason-Dixon?
Yes. Is that not the same thing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It might be, actually.
It might be
the Mason-Dixon line.
I don't know.
I'm giving you like I brought that up
too earlier, yeah. And I'm not sure.
I mean, it might be, perhaps.
It is like the line that divided North and South for the Civil War, but we're talking pre-Civil War.
Yeah, but this is way pre-Civil War. Yeah. And like I said, Missouri, which is actually above the line.
Did you say, let's see.
So, yeah, I mean, those lines would have been drawn, I feel like, a little bit different because, like I said, Missouri ended up being a slave state.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And the line went below, well, not below, but south, you know, south of Missouri.
Whatever. We're not getting graded for this.
Yep, exactly. And like I said, I just like ran through this shit today and like just started going down this rabbit
hole.
We're
not a history podcast, like people.
No, we're not.
Leave us alone. Yep. Or correct us. In the comment section.
No.
Nicely.
I don't care. I don't care to be corrected. So anyway.
We don't read it. No.
So that was basically how things were set up, you know, set up there. So now we go up and we go to the Compromise of 1850. Now we just finished the Spanish-American War. I think that's what it was called. The Mexican-American War, where we started shit with Mexico because we wanted it. At first, we tried to buy the land off of them, some of their territory, mm-hmm. but they were like, no bueno, and told us to go back home. So basically, we started a war with Mexico to basically take it. So the thing that happened, the issue was, is California. California fucking, you know, not much has changed, but California causing all fucking kinds of problems. So, but the issue was, is that line went right through the state. So it was like, okay, well, what are we going to do? Like, is it going to be a free state? Is it going to be a slave state? Like, what the fuck is this shit? So basically, they came up with it was a whole group of compromises. But one of the main ones was California was going to be accepted into the Union because California wasn't even territory. It immediately went to, we own this land. It's going to become a state. Like, it didn't even go, it skipped over the territory phase for some reason. Just, I don't know, there were, but, well, it was
there's gold in
there. Yeah, there was gold, because, yeah, we had the gold, and then the gold rush in 49, and then there's enough people there to make it a state. So they bypassed it. So basically, California, they allowed them to become a free state, but then one of the other, basically, like, federal orders that they put into place was the what the hell was it called? It was like the Runaway Slave Act, basically.
Fugitive.
The Fugitive, that's it. Yes, it was the Fugitive Slave Act, which...
I know that because you taught me this, like, half an hour
ago. I know, right? I know, it's a lot I'm trying to keep straight here, but yeah, like I said, they had the Fugitive Slave Act, which basically, beforehand, if a slave made it up to the North, like, they're good, like, for the most part. Yeah. Like, it was like, all right, dude, you got the finish line. But they made it federal law that if a slave escaped into the northern states were required to capture him and send him back. And they were, and the slave hunters.
It was like an extradition.
Yeah, basically. Wow. And the slave hunters were also allowed to enter the northern states and, you know, arrest slaves and send them back.
They just had for a while to be like, well, if you cross that line, you win.
Yep, exactly.
You got us.
But yeah. So that was
probably too many were winning.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're changing the law.
Yep. Okay. So now we get into, this is basically because 52 is when Franklin is elected president. So we're like pretty much right there with him. But then we get to the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854. Now that was brought on by Stephen Douglas. Now Stephen Douglas was a senator from Illinois. And basically the deal is they wanted to make a transcontinental railway across the country through the territories to California. And they wanted it to come back in the ending point would be Chicago. Also, case in point, Stephen Douglas, he actually ended up buying a bunch of land that would be the endpoint of the train. So he stood to make a shitload of fucking money if he got this pushed through. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as, like, you know, Congress insider trading, like, he was like the fucking Nancy Pelosi of fucking the 1850s. So he's doing all that shit. So the thing was, though, is they had to go through the Kansas and Nebraska territory. Now, after, you know, we took a bunch of, we kind of gave that, had given that land back to the Indians at that point, and it was, you know, declared like there will be no white settlements on there. But because he wanted his fucking railroad, they were like, fuck the Indians, and just kind of screwed him over and took it over. Now, the thing was with that is they actually ended up splitting the territory into two because it would make it easier to have them become states and everything like that. Instead of having one big, great big area, having two smaller areas would have been a lot easier. So getting them to statehood would have been a lot easier at that point. So, but at that point, it was like, okay, well, are there going to be free states or slave states? So this is where basically popular sovereignty basically comes in. So popular sovereignty is basically, and I kind of agree with it. Well, I mean, it sucks when you're talking about slavery, but it's basically the idea that you let the states and the territories decide what they want to do. Basically have a vote, whether they wanted to be a free state or a slave state. And what this did basically is it nullified the Missouri Compromise. That whole line that went across, that was the divider.
Yeah.
They basically just got rid of that.
Okay.
So they did that. And then, of course, you know, our boy, Frankie Pierce, was just
Frankie.
Like, yeah, Frankie. He's like, that sounds good. Pierce. So he just signed it right into law and it passed. And in doing so, it basically, because the land was still kind of barren, everything like that, and they basically had, whether it was going to be a free state or a slave state, up for grabs, a bunch of people from each side went to Kansas. Like, there was a bunch of Southerners or pro-slave people from Missouri, and there was also a bunch of abolitionists from the North that went over there, too, to try to get the majority vote to make it what they wanted. But, of course, that also led to a miniature civil war in Kansas, which they, for a while, like, bleeding, right? Yeah.
Bleeding Kansas expression.
Yeah, they were calling it the Bleeding Kansas because there are so many battles and stuff like that. And that's what led into, like, they were literally, like, little battles, you know? And then, of course, with John Brown, when he fucking massacred all those people with the fucking swords and stuff. And
yeah,
there's a whole bunch of shit that, like, yeah. So, basically,
Slave owners.
So, yeah, our basically, with swords. Our boy, no, Frankie
Pierce. He killed the slave owners with broadswords.
Basically, this is what happened with John Brown. Because, see, okay, so a bunch of the pro-slave guys, they went and fucked. It wasn't Topeka. I can't remember which fucking city it was. But they went and fucked up a bunch of shit in this city. Killed a couple people. So John Brown wasn't having that. And basically went to one of the perpetrators of it and dragged all of the men out of the house. He left the youngest son, but made them all watch as they all murdered them with broadswords.
Ouch.
Which is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't hang him, you didn't shoot him. Like, no, you, like, sliced and diced him with fucking broadswords. That's fucking gnarly. But, yeah, so, and this is all because of our boy Frankie Pierce fucking signed this into law.
Frankie!
Yep, exactly. So basically, Franklin Pierce is more or less remembered as one of, because basically this whole Nebraska Act of 1854 with the fighting in Kansas and everything, this is one of the main sparks that led us into the Civil War.
Interesting.
Thanks, yes. Frankie.
So, yeah, so thanks, Frankie. And like I said, Frankie is actually kind of revered as one of the worst presidents of all time. And he was actually the first president who, when he went to go serve a second term, the party didn't nominate him. it wasn't quite like Biden and Harris, where he was like all kooky and like, you know, just sleepy all the time and couldn't do it longer. But like, yeah, it was the first time that it had ever happened where the previous president wasn't running for a second term. The party straight up nominated Buchanan, actually, was who got the nomination.
I'm going to go in a different direction.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah. So that's our boy, Frankie Pierce. So now you know who we're talking about here. So,
when you get into him, it's kind of like this guy's practically cursed with everything around him.
It pretty much seems like that with this guy. Like, this guy, it's like he literally, like, has a black cloud, like, following him everywhere. Like,
yeah, that's how it seems.
Yeah, because basically before as he was coming up to become president, which is preface this, Frankie Boy had 3 kids. So, as he was coming up, when he was just a senator, his first kid, probably tuberculosis, I would guess.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was tuberculosis.
One of them died from tuberculosis. I can't remember how the other one died.
Yeah, but yeah, his first kid died. No, tuberculosis. A couple years goes back. Apparently, Frankie liked to toss him back a little bit. Now,
sucking down bees.
Sucking down some bees, you know. Like, I get it. Like, you know, that's why you had a bunch of kids back then. Because, you know, a lot of them were probably going to fucking die. So,
I mean, it's 1850.
It's 1850.
Some of your kids are going to die.
Yep, exactly. Like, you better have extra. You know. At the very I almost made Amanda spit out her drink. It's awesome.
That's how you have the extra.
Yeah, exactly.
Just have a couple extra. So, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so during his time as he was coming up as well, his second kid died.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, so he's like 1 for 3 left at this point. And basically, it's his youngest son who's left. And, I mean, you can imagine, like, his wife is, like, gone nuts because of the passing of the first two. And she just, like, completely latches on to the last one.
Like, I would, too. Are you kidding me?
I know. I mean, I get it,
too. Like, you are never leaving my side.
But like, yeah, like, the straight up, like, overbearing mother, like, you know, like, 100%, like, this is her little, you know, little guy. And, yeah. But, unfortunately, was it on the way to the inauguration?
Yes, this was on his, he did get elected president. This is after the two boys passed away, or his two kids.
Yeah.
So they're on the way to the inauguration, and a train car gets disconnected from the other one. It causes a crash. He's able to grab his wife.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He's unable to grab his, I think, about a 10-year-old boy.
He was 11.
11.
He was 11. Because that's actually important later. So
yeah. He got hit by a rogue train car.
Well, like,
he was in a crash.
It disconnected,
they were riding the train, and a car became disconnected, and it crashed.
So it went off the rails, and it went down like a 15-foot embankment, and crashed. He was able to like grab his wife and apparently keep her safe, but he wasn't able to grab his son, and then his son got thrown down the car or something.
Yeah, he was basically thrown from the train car, more or less.
Once it crashed and settled, he went down and like to his son, whose face was covered with a hat, and he removed the hat. His face was like crushed in.
Oh my god!
So yeah, so
black cloud.
So he's 0 for 3 on kids, basically.
So that's on the way to the inauguration. He still has to go and get inaugurated as president.
Oh my god!
I feel like we can give Frankie a pass, like a little bit. I feel like we can give him a pass, like on those 4 years, because like you lose 2 kids on the way
to
being president, get elected, or on your way to the inauguration, and you lose the third.
Like, and he didn't get injured. Like him and his wife didn't get injured.
No, it's from what I read and stuff. It said he was able to grab his wife. So. you know, I don't think they had seatbelts, but I don't know how he held himself in place. But,
yeah,
you know, somehow they were okay, but he couldn't, like, wrangle in the boy, and he got thrown.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, yeah, so after he died, I mean, his wife was just, of course, beside herself and just... Like what was the media calling her? Like the ghost of the White House, basically, because like she was,
I think, the Phantom of the White House.
Because I mean, she went into seclusion. She got what they called melancholy back in the day, which is a really mild way to phrase that, but that's just what they called it.
Basically, severe depression.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, she just kind of disappeared from everything, but she ended up finding some hope in having seances. Now,
I would do the same thing. Are you kidding me?
Oh, of course. But at the same point, like, this was like a really big boom for like spirituality around this time period as well. Like, a lot of this stuff was going on, and it was the Fox sisters.
Yeah, tell us about the
Fox. Yeah.
From that day and age, they kind of like...
Tell us about their foxes.
Basically
That's an old school term, too.
1850-ish trend of, like, you know, doing seances and trying to get contact with the dead and stuff. In fact, if you can picture what a seance is, like, from what you've seen in movies, like Insidious or whatever... You sit around the table, you got your white candles lit, you try to, you know, talk to the ghost, maybe ask for some knocks and stuff. They basically invented, like, that modern thought in the way a seance should be, you know?
Just, like, the process of doing it.
The process of doing the seance with, you know, the candles, the communicating, all that stuff.
Mm.
Now, this trend must have lasted a long time, though, because... They were doing that stuff up through the 1860s, we'll get into.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, like, the Fox sisters were known entities at the White House, basically. Like, they were, like, all the servants, like, now it's like, oh, okay, you guys are here for another seance, and it just kind of...
creepy-ass Fox sisters.
Yeah, I know, right? But, basically, what this... and apparently what they did end up making contact with the son. So, to the point that, like, there were...
Did they say which one?
It was the youngest. The one who died in the train. Yeah. Because she attached, like, so much to her, which is kind of harsh with the other two kids. Like, the other two kids are probably like, what the fuck?
Sitting over there, like, in the great beyond, like...
Yeah, why are you always trying to talk to Peter? Like, what the fuck? I don't remember if that's his name.
I almost wonder at that point, though, if she, like, almost felt a sense of guilt for the last one, saying, like, you know, like, I tried to keep protecting, you know what I mean?
Best, like, and it wasn't a disease, and it wasn't, you know.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, why she would favor.
So.
Yeah.
Why she would favor him, but I could see, like, if she tried to put all of her effort into saving him, and then she still couldn't save him.
Not like it was her fault that the train crashed, but still, you know.
Yeah.
Or was it?
But part two.
That's what it was saying, though, that she... almost like blamed her husband with the politics and his drinking that, like, he brought this curse upon the family, and that's why now they have no more kids.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess there were reports from the staff where they would be walking by her room and they would hear her having a full on conversation with him. And yeah, like, I don't know about many other sightings, possibly outside of her. And apparently, Frankie was a witness as well. But yeah, like, it just, imagine he's just walking by, like, I don't know, like, dusting shit or whatever the fuck, like, maids in the White House do or whatever. Yeah. And, like, you just hear her having a full blown conversation with somebody else. Like, only hearing the one side, but it's just like.
And you know what? Just let her go.
Yeah.
Fuck her. Whatever's keeping her. You know, from jumping off a cliff.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if that's keeping her from slitting her wrists, like, yeah, I guess, yeah. Just fucking whatever.
She would write, like, hundreds of, like, detailed letters to him.
She did, also. Yeah. She also, yeah, Yeah, wrote a bunch of letters to him. I think that was before the seances started.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. Right, yeah. She started by writing the letters and then eventually moved on to the seances. So, yeah. But, you know, after 4 years, Frankie was kind of out of there. And that was pretty much it as far as that goes. But that's the thing with this, this documentary fucking posits is that in doing the seances and having all that stuff, they basically just opened up the door and let something in, which, I mean, yeah, it's fucking possible.
Almost like if you don't end a Ouija game.
Yeah, kind of.
Thing.
Yeah, basically,
there.
Yeah.
Sort of like with the way, you know, if these Fox sisters kind of were making it up as they go along, you know, and you don't really know exactly what you're doing, like messing with shit that you don't understand.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
And it's the best thing to do.
And at the same time, too, I mean, like, if you were a fucking demon trying to, you know, get her to open up to you, like, of course you would disguise yourself as her son. You're like, yeah, I'm your son, obviously. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I miss you. Like, you know, like that kind of shit. You know, like, of course you would do that.
In the demon pool of whatever they pull from to be like, enter the world, be like, that had to have been in high demand. It's like, oh, this chick's at the fucking White House?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like, dude, like,
I'm going to get in there and fuck shit up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the documentary tries to
say. Yeah, the documentary is
like, I don't really go into it that much with that.
Yeah, I just
wanted to hear about some
ghosts. Later on, apparently the demon did 9/11 and like...
Yeah, all this
I had stopped like, watching at that point. It's like, okay, whatever.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it turns out it was a demon. It wasn't Dick Cheney. So that's fucking crazy. But yeah, so that's pretty much the story of Franklin Pierce. So before we jump into Lincoln, because obviously Abraham Lincoln is the most famous ghost of the White House, we're going to talk about Mary Lincoln, actually, because while he was in there, they actually lost their son, Willie. It was in February.
I think he lost him to sickness.
Yeah, it was like tuberculosis again. Basically, like there's a lot of TB going around back then. Like it was, I don't know, TB. Yeah,
TB is airborne.
Yeah, TB was.
A lot of people didn't get it too.
Yeah, I don't know. But actually, kind of a. I was gonna say kind of a funny thing, but that's probably not the right word for this. Frankie's kid died when he was 11. Would anybody like to take a guess at how old Willie was when he died?
I thought he was 12.
Mm.
He was 11?
As far as what I saw, he was 11.
Oh, okay. I read that he was 12.
Okay.
But,
I don't know. According to my research, he was 11, so they were both 11, basically, which is kind of a weird coincidence.
Yeah, I thought it was... I know one of them was 11. I think that's why I was confused which one was 11, because I probably read that they both were...
But from what I heard,
oh well,
yeah. From what I heard, they were both 11, which is kind of a weird coincidence.
Yeah,
and it was actually so similar to what happened to Frankie. Apparently, he actually wrote Lincoln a letter after it happened, like giving him his condolences and all that stuff. Because if anybody knew about that, it was him.
They said he likely died of typhoid.
Typhoid. Oh yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it wasn't tuberculosis. Yeah, nice. Community notes, fucking fact checking. I like it. But yeah, from like 1862 to like 1863, like you said, Mary Lincoln, she would participate in spirit circles and do seances in the Red Room at the White House and also at the presidential cottage at the soldier's home. And yeah, I mean, like, this whole spirituality, like, especially with the Civil War going on, like, there was a lot, because, I mean, you have a lot of husbands never returning home, you know, like, that kind of stuff. So you get a lot of wives trying to get into seances and stuff like that to try to
say one more thing.
Yeah, sons, fathers, everything. Yeah.
And I believe all of this that we're talking about right now is from, because I was looking at the same stuff you were. We all got this from the White House Historical Association. Yeah. Anyways, go on.
Okay. So, all right, Kyle, why don't you take us through Jerry Smith there?
So between 1901 and 1904, Jerry Smith, he started.
I was going to say, isn't that the dad in Rick and Morty?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right. Nice. All right, cool.
Started working at the White House during the Ulysses S. Grant administration in the late 1860s as a footman. Served as a footman, butler, cook, doorman, and the official duster.
How would you like that label? I'm the official duster.
I'll do the duster.
I don't know.
Did you get appointed?
I don't know what that entails. Yeah, is that like an appointment?
Is it an appointed position?
The cook, yeah. And the doorman and the, that sounds like a lot of work. And what the hell's a footman anyway?
I don't know.
Is it like a shoe shiner?
Shine shoes?
A podiatrist? Shine box.
Go get your fucking shine box.
He's the White House podiatrist and cook.
Okay. Hopefully not on the same day.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's so big, the official duster would be like a full-time job anyway. So anyway, he worked there for 35 years until he retired. And he's a popular character and storyteller, and reports could always count on Smith on a slow news day. He claimed to have seen the ghosts of Lincoln, Grant, McKinley, and several first ladies.
Damn.
So, Jerry. Nice.
All right.
He's trying.
He's. I would like to take, what is it, like 3 strokes off my golf game.
Yeah.
All right. So this one's pretty weird. But, okay. So this one goes all the way up to 1911. And it's a little known spirit that's it's supposed to be an unidentified 15-year-old boy. And they called the Thing, that greatly frightened the Taft domestic staff in 1911. So President Taft's military aide, Major Archibald Butt.
I love it.
Nice.
Major Archibald Butt.
He's a Major Butt. Yeah, he's a Major Butt.
Give me Major Butt.
It's like he's friends with Major Asshole from Spaceballs. He's an asshole, sir. I knew that. What's his name? That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole. But yeah, so Major Butt wrote to his sister Clara, who's his name, I would assume, is Clara Butt. But the ghost, it seems, is a young boy about 14 or 15 years old. They say that the first knowledge one has of the presence of the Thing is a slight pressure on the shoulder, as if someone were leaning over your shoulder to see what you were doing. President Taft ordered Butt to tell the White House staff that the first member to repeat stories about the Thing would be fired. Dude, fuck that, dude.
That's so dumb.
Taft's a fucking asshole.
But you know what that tells me? That tells me it scared the shit out of him. Yeah, that's what probably. That tells me.
Well, one of the things I was watching explained that, like, because he was such a big fat guy, pretty much, like, he was, like, a joke in a lot of, like, articles and political cartoons and shit.
Yeah, that's stuck in the back.
There's like for that. Yeah, that.
Like, yeah, it did.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Fatimagoo.
Either way, it's funny. So it he didn't funny. Want people like he wanted respect, and he didn't want to be like the ghost fucking.
He didn't want to give him something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give him more ammunition.
He was stuck in the bathtub naked, and then, like, a ghost came up and started making fun of him.
Fanamagoo, fanamagoo. shit.
But that's, I mean, why call it the Thing?
That's probably going to piss it off, I would think. That's, you know what? That's a little harsh.
What doesn't make him think that that's not, like, Willie Lincoln or whatever? I know it says it's 14 or 15, but they're just guessing.
Yeah,
it's not like they ask the ghost, how old are you?
And right.
He's like, oh, I'm 14
and
or 15.
And I thought of it, too. Like, Abraham Lincoln was a freaking tall guy.
Especially for the time. 6'8", 6'6". So he was a very
He was like 6'3", 6'4".
Really? Well, he's, yeah. well that's huge for the time.
But for like 18, yeah, exactly.
So like his son could have potentially looked like a 50-year-old.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense. Yeah, he's probably a big kid. So Andrew Jackson, we got here. So Andrew Jackson supposedly lying in his bed in the Queen's bedroom, which is the Rose Room, where, you know, Mary would have those seances and stuff, lets out a guttural laugh that has been heard in the White House since the 1860s. Yeah, Mary Lincoln claimed to have heard Jackson stomping around and swearing. So, and then,
that's funny. Yeah. And then how do they, so, it, I'm thinking too hard into this. Like, how do they know it's him? Did they see him, or is just, they're just like,
right?
I remember that man's laugh.
I mean, maybe.
It's a good question.
I mean, some people have distinctive laughs, and like they probably knew, maybe.
I mean, there has to be a way they knew. It has to.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then yeah, we get to, you know, Thomas Jefferson. Apparently, he's there too. He plays his violin in the yellow oval room.
Okay, I would love to hear a random violin playing.
That would be awesome. Unless he sucks.
Yeah.
Then it would not be great at all.
Just practicing. It would be terrible.
Shoot, he's the president. Just say he's really good.
Damn it, dude. He's playing hot cross buns again.
Like the emperor. Like,
son of a bitch.
The emperor's new clothes situation. Like, he's like throwing like huge concerts. Like, he's the shittiest violin player.
The worst.
Everyone's forced to clap.
Because he's the fucking president. Like, yeah, bravo, don't hurt, like, he's a toddler, like, don't hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. But apparently Dolly Madison protects the Rose Garden, so she's been spotted there.
Yeah, I heard by she different people. Is the one who, like, planted the garden, like, made the garden out there.
Yeah, I guess, like, that was her thing, because, yeah, she was John Adams' wife, I believe, and he was...
John or James.
Yeah, John Adams, and he was the fourth president, so, like, they got that garden in there early, so...
Dolly Madison?
Yeah.
Was his...
Not his Madison. Cousin. God damn it, I'm retarded.
Madison's wife?
Yeah, no. No, never mind. I had to pen too many times, apparently. So. But no, I'm thinking John... you know, Madison Adams is close. It's on complete separate sides of the fucking alphabet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to edit that out.
So who?
I can't sound that retarded. Yeah, okay. James Madison.
Okay.
Who I think it was probably the fifth president. Oh, no, I'm not good with presidents.
Dolly Madison, you know, James Adams is better.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was a kid, they might have been banging
too. You don't know that. You don't know that they weren't. Like, they could have been. I don't know.
I don't even think that's
what you said. But yeah.
John Adams. I said James. Jesus Christ. Edit all of this out.
57.
I'm like, I said that. I'm like, that does not. James Madison and John Adams. There we go.
Yeah.
James Madison and John Adams.
I swear we're not retired.
I'm like, James Adams.
James Adams Madison.
Who the fuck is James? Or James.
God. His wife, Ashley Madison?
I'm still cutting it out. Yeah, she started it. Rose Gardens and fuck sites. So. Okay. So, Abigail Adams. I wonder who she was married to.
I think it's James Madison.
I think it might be. But apparently she hung laundry in the East Room, and the staff can smell wet laundry and the scent of lavender.
Can I tell you right now, when I die, laundry is my hell. So if I die and you smell laundry, just know that
you're in hell.
I'm in hell.
Yeah.
Because, right. Or someone kill me again so I can just like get to where I want to go, because laundry, I think it's the physical of just putting the laundry away. I hate it. You will never catch me in heaven.
Doing laundry.
Sorry. I honestly got pretty, when I saw that, I was like, I kind of like struck a nerve. I was like, oh, that's I better not be doing laundry in heaven. I want to be somewhere else.
Well, it's definitely, I can definitely think of like worse hells.
Yeah.
Well, laundry, yeah, but maybe yeah, like doing laundry on fire. That would suck.
Yeah, there you go.
William Henry Harrison's son, too. His name was Woody. He was the first person to smoke a joint on the roof of the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah, good for him.
That's right. Hell yeah.
He did it pretty immediately, though, because his dad died within a month of presidency. Did you say William Henry Harrison?
Yeah, his son, Woody. He's gone on to star in several movies and...
Woody, cheers. Woody Harrison?
Harrelson.
Wait.
That's what we were talking about, right?
No, Woody, wait.
William Henry Harrison?
Wait. Oh, my God.
Did you hit the pen too many times, too?
What are we talking?
Woody Harrelson. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What? What's happening?
I don't know.
So, Abigail Adams.
We're going to talk about her. We're going to talk about her.
You think it's William Henry Harrelson?
William Henry Harrison, he apparently haunts the attic. And he smokes,
Harrison.
And he smokes weed on the roof.
But, does he? This is all I guess I'm fucking done.
He was the first president
George
to die in the
White House. George Washington was pothead, man. You know, he said all that hemp, dude.
Because he knew it would be a good crop for the southern states.
Can you imagine going through all that time to, like, become president and die in a month? No, yeah, president.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. Okay, so let's talk about, yeah.
I think because he like refused to wear a jacket too, like during a speech and when it was cold out.
He caught a cold.
So like the you know, legend goes that yeah, he basically got sick and died because he didn't dress for the
Are
occasion.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But you get sick because of bacteria. You don't get sick.
I know, yeah.
Or
yeah,
a virus. You don't get sick because of temperature. But I get it. I get it. If that's like
the old timey legend.
Oh man, that's embarrassing. Okay. So apparently, there's also a unnamed British soldier that haunts the White House because, you know, during the War of 1812, they actually set the White House on fire. Mm-hmm. And apparently, this guy is just kind of roaming the grounds, holding a torch. So I guess in the afterlife, he's just looking for a spot to light it up, I guess.
Burn it down.
I don't know.
It would suck to die and then be a ghost in like a...
Foreign, like
yeah, a completely
like
different area country.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, luckily, they still speak the same language.
True.
I mean, one's like, you know, get her done, and the other's like, hello, go. You like it, but it's still the same shit. Like, they can mostly understand each other, you know? Yeah, so then we go to David Burns here, and David Burns actually was the guy who owned the land which the White House is now stands, and he's been seen or heard in the Yellow Oval Room. A lot of action in the Yellow Oval Room.
Yeah,
you got this
that.
Guy, you got Jefferson playing shitty violin. Like, I don't know.
And I think there was like Lincoln sightings in there too, but they screwed that guy over.
Yeah, they did. They, like, forced him off his land.
Yeah,
you like, own, like, all
that They did
land.
That to everybody back then.
Well, yeah. But I love how, like, they word it. He owned the land on which the White House now stands. Yeah, no shit. I would haunt this place, too, if they forced you off your land.
Pissed at you, yeah.
Yeah. If anything, he should be the guy walking around with the fucking torch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to burn this motherfucker down.
I will burn this motherfucker down.
Come on, Pookie.
At least pay for what you took. Give me money.
All right, so
maybe.
I mean, maybe.
Probably not.
I've read they basically forced him to sell like a certain amount of acres every year to like for like 10 years.
Oh, okay. So they'd buy
it off him, but he's like, I don't want to do this, you know.
Okay. Okay. That sucks.
Yeah, I guess, it says right here, he sold the government most of the land, just, you know, not on purpose.
Forcibly sold.
Forcibly sold, yeah, I suppose. So, let's get into a little thing with Abigail Adams as well. So, her husband, John Adams, he was the second president. Okay, I thought maybe he was fourth. I might have said that earlier, but whatever. But yeah, he was the second president of the United
John
States.
Quincy Adams was the fourth.
John Quincy Adams. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I was close. All right. Cool. It counts. Let's just count it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they moved to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue from, because the U.S. Capitol used to be in Philadelphia until it was moved over to D.C. But
no, John Quincy was the sixth. Man, we were just bad at thousands.
Oh my God.
But Adams wasn't there.
We are just proving that we went to public school. But
he was but John Adams was definitely the second.
Yeah, so
James Madison was the fourth.
Damn it! God, I suck at this.
There's somebody like Adam Madison, like the Johns, lots of Johns.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It gets confused.
I feel like the first like eight is like kind of like that. That's pretty rough.
I feel like
that's pretty, because it's John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and then like James Madison, and then Ashley Madison, and then fucking. I don't fucking know. I don't know. But yeah, so Abigail apparently.
There, I got him up in order on my computer.
Okay, there you go. Nice. But apparently the ghost of Abigail Adams has reportedly been seen heading towards the East Room. And yeah, more ghosts doing laundry, actually. Arms outstretched as if she was doing laundry. So.
Damn.
That sucks.
That does suck. That sucks. That does suck. But yeah, what's this?
Like, I died and like my ghost just, you'd see it cutting grass.
Yeah. I got pissed. All right. Be like, this is some fucking bullshit, dude. Like, can I kill myself again and just see what the next level is?
Just cutting a bigger lawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lawn just grows.
Full sun.
Yeah,
middle of winter.
The lawn grows and you go like down to a push mower. Like, it's like, fuck you. Like, and then just like keeps going down and down and down until like you just have scissors.
That'd be fun. I'd be down for that. I used to like doing that at the old place. But
yeah, that wasn't bad.
You gotta walk with one, man. That sucks.
Yep. Okay, so. Alright. I've been talking for a while. When you guys take us through this part with Old Hickory.
Okay. In 1824, Andrew, quote, Old Hickory Jackson.
I've never heard that name. Okay.
Defeated by John Quincy Adams in one of the most contentious presidential elections in history. Elected president 4 years later, the surly Jackson continued to hold grudges against those who had supported his opponent.
He was like the Trump of that time. Like, that's amazing.
In the early 1860s, First Lady Mary Todd Lincoln, who believed strongly in the occult and reportedly held seances in the White House to commune with the spirits of her dead sons, told friends she had heard Jackson stomping and swearing through the halls of the presidential residence. The Rose Room, Jackson's bedchamber while he was president, is believed by some to be one of the most haunted rooms in the White House. That's pretty cool.
Nice. That's pretty sweet. Cool. Yeah, I love it. He's just like, I'm get
so
you,
so then I guess that makes sense, because I remember when I was like, well, how do they know it's Jackson? Have they ever seen him or they just heard him? So, I mean, that makes sense if that's why they think that's him.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I don't know if they, like, everybody just picks different rooms. Or if, like, that's
the rose, like,
the rose
go
room
in,
is always, like, the master bedroom. Like, I don't know.
It's the one that, we'll get into it.
Yeah. All right, Cal, you want to take us through this little thing with Truman right here?
Yeah, Jackson's ghostly presence also showed up in the White House to correspond with Harry Truman, who is the 33rd president. So that's pretty long time of a distance there.
Mm-hmm.
June 1945 is over 100 years. Just 2 months into his first term, Truman wrote to his wife Bess that the spooky quality of the White House. And I sit here in this old house and work on foreign affairs, read reports and work on speeches, all while listening to ghosts walk up and down the hallway, and even right up here in the study. he sees the drapes move back and forth, and he says he can just imagine old Andy talking about Andrew Jackson and Teddy Roosevelt having an argument over Franklin Roosevelt.
Nice.
I love that. Imagine old Andy and Teddy.
Yep. They're boys. They're boys, apparently. Yeah, Harry Truman. Yeah, he's working on plans to drop fucking nukes on Japan. So, all right. So, last but not least, here we'll get into the ghost of Abraham Lincoln, which is hands down the most frequently spotted. Like, it's usually always Lincoln. So, one of you guys want to take the first one?
Yeah, I can do it.
Cool.
By far the most frequently reported sightings in the White House over the years has been the ghost, or at least the presence, of the celebrated 16th president, Abe Lincoln, whose life was cut tragically short by an assassin's bullet in April of 1865. Grace Coolidge, wife of President Calvin Coolidge from 1923 to 29, was the first person to say she had actually seen Lincoln's ghost. According to her, the lanky former president was standing looking out the window of the Oval Office across the Potomac to the former Civil War battlefields beyond. Lady Bird Johnson, wife of President Lyndon Johnson, reportedly felt Lincoln's presence one night while watching a television program about his death.
Fucking Lady Bird Johnson.
Yeah, is that a real name?
Yeah, I guess that's also the inspiration for Hank Hill's dog.
I know, because even like his dog named after.
Yeah, no, that's her nickname.
Okay.
That's a nickname.
Everything I've read, though, like, it says Lady Bird, and I'm like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really understand the reference with that, but.
It's a little strange for her to say that she could feel his presence. Like, I wish I could know more about, like, what. Because she obviously, it was 100 years before that. So, how does she know?
I am least likely to believe this one because she was watching something about his death.
Yeah.
So she's probably already on edge. And she's like, oh, I think I felt him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the other one, I was like, oh, the other one's pretty believable. Where she's like, I saw him looking out the window.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Then he turned and looked at me and he disappeared.
Like, now that is cool. Like, yeah. I believe that. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln is extremely, everyone knows what he looks like. So, but just to say, I felt his presence while watching a TV show. Well, you know what? When I'm watching a ghost show, I'm on more high alert. You know, think like, I don't know.
It gets in your head a little
bit. That one I'm a little like, you're reaching a little bit. Yeah. But
I will say, though, so this kind of goes back to our haunted healthcare where, like, I know this doesn't go for probably some of the other presidents. I don't know. But, I mean, remember, Abe Lincoln, he died an extremely, pretty immediate death, you know? And remember how haunted healthcare, we were saying how somebody brought up the question that, well, maybe there's ghosts, like there was one specific ghost story where she was like, I don't think the lady knew she died. So the nurse was like, hey, so-and-so, you know what? You're dead. You no longer have cancer. You can leave.
Oh, yeah.
And then she left, you know, and then then the nurse felt the presence leave. She felt a very heavenly presence after that. Like, and then she didn't hear that because the lady had like passed away. She had just passed away and she had she had cancer that had went up to her brain. So she was very not herself. So that's why she was under the impression maybe she didn't know she died. Well, you know, that kind of begs the question of, okay, somebody like Abraham Lincoln, he died by getting shot in the head. You know, did he know he died? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he did. I don't know if he was conscious at all, but he lasted like something like 12 hours, I think, at least.
Did he last that long?
Took him to like a hospital.
Yeah, he wasn't like instant.
It wasn't like they just blew his head off. They were able to get him somewhere where.
At the same time, he had that big fucking head too. Like, you know, like one little bullet's not going to completely blow it away. So he had a chance.
Oh, he did. Wow. Being after, how long can you imagine? It says he lived approximately 9 hours after being shot.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
God, being shot. Wow. That's
but if he was unconscious, you know, then yeah, you still don't know what's going on. You know.
I feel like that's a lot. That's a long time, especially in like the mid 1800s. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like.
It could have been some real small little secret gun, you know?
Secret gun.
You just pop it out of your sleeve, you know?
Yeah, like, you, like, put your hand forward and it just like, comes out and you're like,
pew, pew!
And then you run away.
Yeah, like a taxi driver thing.
Scream death to tyrants in Latin or whatever the fuck Booth fucking yelled on his way out. I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of... I didn't realize he... I don't think I ever knew that he lived for... a little bit of time after, so maybe that kind
of
disproves my thought, or maybe he's there because Willie's there.
True. You know? Yeah.
Because there's been Willie sightings. Lincoln. I think he was.
Don't fucking phrase it like that. There's been Willie sightings. Don't fucking phrase it like that.
Like Abe Lincoln had a dream like about getting assassinated like 3 days before.
Oh yeah, there was that too. Yeah, there was
that,
yeah. Like, I forgot. Yeah, I totally blanked
like
on
three
that.
3 days before it actually happened in the theater, like he had dreamt like he was going to get assassinated.
Yeah, it's basically like I think how the dream was is he basically like in the dream, like he was kind of like walking around the White House and like everybody was sad and shit, and he's just like walked up to, you know, like. Like, I don't think he walked up to somebody, but, like, overheard somebody saying, like, the president's dead, he's been shot, like, that kind of thing. He's just like, what the fuck? And then woke up.
I like to, like, fact check these things as we go. So, it says, Abraham, and everything I'm looking up is just a quick Google search. So.
Oh, of course.
Says, Abraham Lincoln had a dream he was assassinated 3 days before he was assassinated.
Yeah, there you go.
It says Lincoln dreamt that he wandered the White House and found a corpse in the East Room, and the corpse was guarded by soldiers and surrounded by mourners. When Lincoln asked who was dead, a soldier replied, "The president. He was killed by an assassin." And Lincoln woke up from his nightmare with a loud burst of grief from the mourners. Something. It says Lincoln was reluctant to tell his wife about the dream, but he eventually did. Lincoln compared himself to Macbeth, who was troubled by visions. Lincoln told his bodyguard that he had the dream for 3 nights in a row. And Lincoln was reportedly reluctant to attend the play because of the dream. My God.
Especially if you like say that you have visions like that all the time. It'd be like, I'm just going to chill and not go anywhere for a while.
And guess what? Yeah. I would be like, I fully support that. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. That's just, I don't know. But then, like, you always get, like, in the back of your head, it's just like, it's fucking bullshit. You know, like, it'll be fine. Like, whatever.
Sometimes I'm the worst at listening to my intuition, because sometimes I think my intuition is like, no, man, you're just being stupid. And then I'm like, God damn it, why didn't I listen to that?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to trust your gut.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. All right. So, Kyle, why don't you take us through a couple more Lincoln sightings right here?
Okay.
It's a pretty good one we got here coming up. So, this is one of my favorites, I believe.
So, there was a lot of Lincoln ghost sightings during the administration of Franklin D. Roosevelt, which was the longest one, 1933 through 45, when he passed away. While he was still president. But, you know, FDR was also president during a very tumultuous time in American history, just like Lincoln. So perhaps that's why, you know, they got more of a upheaval in the sightings and whatnot. But his First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt, she used the Lincoln bedroom as her study, and said that she would feel his presence while she worked there late at night. And during a visit to the White House, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands
Nice.
heard a knock on her bedroom door in the night. And when she answered it, she reportedly saw Lincoln's ghost standing there wearing his top hat, and she just straight up fainted.
Yeah, right. That's how I
like one of those fucking goats.
Yeah. The fainting goat.
Just
try to run and just fall like, over. Fall down.
They always throw their like stupid legs in the air too when they fall over. I love sorry. It. It's so fucking dumb. Alright, sorry.
And then the other one during World War II, Winston Churchill, he was staying at the White House visiting, where he would enjoy taking a nice long bath with his big fat stogie. And one time after, you know, leaving the bathroom, he's walking from the bathroom to his bedroom, which was the Lincoln room, I believe. Mm. But either way, he was going to his bedroom. And so he walks into his bedroom butt-ass naked, just holding a cigar, and he sees Lincoln sitting there by the fireplace, and he ashes his cigar in the ground and says, good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage.
I can love that.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
So Churchill is the shit.
After that, he refused to stay in the room.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not staying in that room anymore, but, though.
What a good English gentleman.
Oh, yeah. It's just like I can be terrified and witty at the same time. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like being terrified is no excuse to lose your wit. All right. Okay. We already go to that. Also to piggyback on the dream as well. Apparently, Lincoln is believed to have attended two seances during his time in the White House. But, of course, you know, his wife enjoyed putting those events on much more. But granted, if I was having dreams about getting shot, I probably wouldn't want to hang out and do seances either. So,
yeah.
Any kind of like weird shit like that. So, and then, yeah, basically our last one that we got here is from Lillian Rogers Parks, who is a seamstress. Once investigated the sound of someone pacing an upper level of the White House. Another staff member told her the room in question had been unoccupied, and that was old Abe pacing the floor. Okay. Psychics have speculated that Lincoln's spirit remains in the White House to be on hand in times of crisis, as well as to complete the difficult work that his untimely death left unfinished.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You feel a sense of, unfinished business. Tape.
Yeah. So that's, unless you guys have any other stories or anything like that, that's basically all I got.
So the only thing I wanted to say, and it doesn't, I was looking up, like, during, you know, looking up all of this stuff, I tried to look up White House ghost tours.
Okay.
And because I was like, well, gosh, you know, that would be really cool to like experience one of those.
Fuck yeah, that'd be
and
sweet.
So like, and I looked it up, and they do have White House ghost tours, which sounds like so exciting.
Really, that would be.
But
cool.
No, because the way they name it seems so exciting. But please note that we do not actually enter the buildings on this tour.
Oh,
so you just
lame.
Stand on the outside
oh,
of it.
Oh, go
and
fuck
so,
yourself.
I know. And so, like, when I saw that, I was like, geez. Like, I would love to just, like, experience it on the end. Like, there has to be a way that somehow, maybe, like, go through, like, maybe, like, a corridor or two. I mean, I can see you're not going up to the bedrooms. I mean, it, you know.
I mean, I know that they used to do tours of the inside of the house.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Donald, fucking let us come in and, like, try to find ghosts.
I don't know
shit.
If they still do. Who knows? I don't know. But I know this White House ghost tour. I was, like, super excited about it. And
you just stand outside.
No, like, so it's something that you can learn on YouTube? Like,
yeah,
essentially,
pretty much.
Like,
and, I mean, fuck, man, like, I don't want to stand outside at night in D.C. What are you fucking nuts? Like, it sucks.
In
there.
The early days of the White House and the president's, the White House was open for anyone to go into at all times.
That's awesome. Like,
that was the whole
I thought at least
like,
in the mornings.
Maybe there was hours, I'm not sure, but they could, you know, there was the point of it was like a public house where like you could go in and as an American and say your piece.
America.
I don't think it lasted that long.
Yeah. You know, America.
It's a pissed off farmer. Yeah. Mr. Burns. Man, Mr. Burns. Land guy being like, I want my fucking land back, asshole.
Bunch of fucking dickheads rolling in there. They took her jeans.
So, Mr. President, my neighbor's cows, they keep shitting on my property.
Can I shoot them?
Yeah.
The cows, not the neighbor. Well, maybe the neighbor, but let's build up to that.
Which would probably be actually a good thing because you would want it to, like, fertilize your field, so.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I was thinking. I was like, you're another farmer. Like, yeah. I hear that shit.
But then he's taking the shit back to his house. Like, That's my shit.
Once it's shit on my property, it then becomes my shit. I don't take kindly to people stealing my shit. And it took her tears. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. So do you guys have any final thoughts on the haunted White House?
Well, it's a big old house, and a lot of important decisions and everything have made there and have been made there, and during times of tumultuous times in history, like Civil War or World War II or, any other, war like that's ever gone on. Like, gonna have a lot of people,
A lot of very high emotions in that
building.
High
emotions, yes.
In that building. A lot of very high emotions.
How many actual deaths have taken place there?
Just like anybody in general or just like...
Yeah, like anyone. Like even some old, housekeeper or something. If they even stay in there. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I doubt the workers stay there.
Yeah,
maybe
probably
like
not.
Maybe like a head butler or something.
Or maybe like back in the day.
Back in the day. I mean, I feel there's probably enough rooms for it, so.
There's 130, there's 130 some rooms in the White House.
Yeah, oh my God. You could have some living.
Huge. I know it's big, but I didn't even think it was that big.
No shit.
It did have some like additions added on, so I don't know if that's like the newest update after they added like the West Wing and the East Wing.
Yeah, like all of those. Well, they had to, of course, do repairs after the fire and stuff like that too when the Brits set it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I did do some stuff, but I don't know. What about you, Amanda? Anything?
No, it's kind of hard for me.
It's okay.
Like, I felt like I was like, well, God, I feel like in order to be like good at this, I feel like I would have had to take in like a little history lesson, and I didn't have the time to do it. I wish I did.
Yeah.
But I mean the actual, I don't know. I love talking about ghost stories. I love ghost encounters. So it's fun for me. I don't know. I think the Abe Lincoln, when it's one of those things when so many people see a certain thing, you tend to believe it more. Mm-hmm. So like the Abe Lincoln thing, I think that's cool, especially because he's got such distinct features. Like it's him,
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah. you're not going to lose that guy in a crowd.
Yeah. No. But ultimately, it was fun going through this. Like I said, I wish. Like, doing this makes me want to explore the history about it more, but unfortunately, I didn't have time to do it before the podcast.
Yeah. So. No, of course.
And there's probably always so much, like, more to a story than you're going to hear, especially when it comes to, like, White House stuff. Like,
oh, of course.
Think about all, like, this stuff Taft squashed. No one was allowed to talk about it or else they're going to get fired.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, who else, you could see... I could see Richard Nixon being that paranoid as well,
Yeah, he had a lot of stuff to worry about, so.
Exactly, which could have, elevated that, the high emotions, the psychic energy.
Mm-hmm.
all that crazy stuff. You know, gets swirling around in a place where they, you know, they got these seances going on.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, or still be doing that shit for all we know.
I mean, yeah, probably. I don't know. Why not? Well, all right. So thanks a lot to everybody for coming with us down this road. If you have any comments about this or anything, or if you want to correct my fucking history, you can hit us up at Lopotomized on X and Instagram. And I suppose until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Peace out.
Peace.
America.